Well, it's delightful to be together again today for another session in Bible prophecy. And we've come to lesson number 11 in our course. This is your teacher, C. Ernest Tatum. And you'll notice that there's a suggested background reading in the beginning of lesson 11, suggesting that we should read in advance Psalm 72 and Revelation chapter 20. Now, am I taking too much for granted when I assume that you have already done this? Well, if you haven't already read Psalm 72 and Revelation 20, I certainly want you to do it before you give yourself to examination number 11, because it's very, very rich in providing us with information concerning Earth's golden age. That was a very interesting answer that our Savior gave to Simon Peter, as recorded in the 19th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, when Peter said to the Lord, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto him and unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that you have who have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The New Scofield Reference Bible has a suggested note, a very helpful note, I would say, on this interesting word, regeneration. It says that this term refers to the recreation of the social order and renewal of the earth when the kingdom comes. I think that that is well taken. You'll notice that we have pointed out that the history of the earth has been summarized by three key words. First, generation. Second, degeneration. And third, regeneration. It would be well to tuck these three key words away in our memory when we think of the past and the present and the future of this planet of ours. Regeneration, then, refers not only to the individual's experience of the new birth, as we have it in Titus 3:5, but also the renewal of the whole social order that has fallen under the blight of man's fall. Now we'll look at that in just a moment. You'll see three questions in connection with our lesson today, and I trust satisfying answers to these questions. When will the regeneration begin? Well, our Lord seems to make it very plain that it will not begin before he assumes his throne of glory as the Son of Man. And the notes point out that while our Lord and Savior today is enthroned at God's right hand, by and by he's going to return and assume his messianic throne as man. And these two thrones are distinguished carefully in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. As Son of God, as the Father's fellow and co-equal, he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high today. But when he comes again, he'll occupy his own throne as Son of Man, and this he will share with the overcomers in the day of his kingdom glory. The millennial kingdom of our Lord, or his messianic kingdom if you like, will last 1,000 years. This is indicated very clearly, I think, in Revelation chapter 20. You'll look up these references, I'm sure. Then its extent will be worldwide. Twice over in the Old Testament, we have this word, and I'm quoting, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." These words are repeated almost verbatim, and exactly, in Isaiah 11:9 and in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. and it's verified. This statement is verified by Zechariah's great word in Zechariah 14 and 9, where we read, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one." The characteristics of Messiah's kingdom seem to fall into four categories. First of all, spiritual. Second, physical. Third, animal. And fourth, vegetable. A fourfold view, therefore, is afforded us of this day of glory and splendor. No one, I believe, will go into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who has not been born again. Now, you'll notice that there are three or four scriptures that are bracketed here that indicate this quite clearly. Take, for example, the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. Looking on to that day, we read in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 23 and the following verses these words, "And I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." Now watch it. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." This glowing prophecy refers to the time when Israel, the remnant of that nation, emerging from the fiery furnace of the great tribulation, the preserved remnant, will go into the Messiah's kingdom. You see, when that remnant, caught between the upper and the nether millstones of the Antichrist's pressure and persecution, cries out and says, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," then the Lord Jesus will come to the rescue of his oppressed people. And that remnant will become the nucleus of the new Israel, and they will go into Messiah's kingdom, having been born again. This ties in with our Lord's great statement to Nicodemus, when he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And according to Ezekiel 36, the application of the water of the word, not baptism, by the way. That has nothing to do with regeneration. The application of the water of the Word of God will produce the miracle of the new birth. And in that day, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. Now, Joel's great prophecy, part of which I have just quoted, was partially fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. It will be completely filled at the beginning of the kingdom reign of our Lord and Savior. Let me read with you the second chapter of the prophecy of Joel, verse 27. "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Did you notice that? On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out on all flesh. The Holy Spirit was poured out only on the 120 in the upper room. So that Pentecost was a little foretaste, a little example of the great effusion of the Holy Spirit, which will be consummated at the second coming of our Lord. so that all who enter Messiah's kingdom will be spirit-filled and born again in that day. Now, of course, it is conceded that there will be millions born during the 1,000 years when death will be a rarity, and many of them will not be born again. But I'm just contending for the point that all those who do go into the kingdom will be born again at its inception. Now then, what about physical life? I believe that Isaiah 65, verses 20 through 22, teaches that longevity will be restored as it was before the flood. I'm reading now from Isaiah 65 and verse 20 and following verses in the American Standard Version. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Thinking of animal life, conditions will be restored as they were before the fall. Ferocity will give way to docility. And if you'll ponder carefully the 8th Psalm and the passage in Isaiah, it's indicated in chapter 11, you'll see that the conditions that originally existed will be restored when the curse is removed. And even vegetable life will benefit by the lifting of that curse and the smile of Jehovah upon the earth. And the desert shall blossom and bloom as the rose. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad. Amos tells us in the 9th chapter and the 13th verse of his prophecy, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt." In that day, you see, the curse of the fall will be removed. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. This will be the day of earth's golden age, and the day of our Lord's unsullied glory, when he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In our next session, we shall consider our 12th and final lesson of Bible prophecy. I want you to look it over in advance, and don't forget the promise of Paul. Consider what I say, and the Lord shall give the understanding in all things.